This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Pretty amazing on the earth at the moment. And God is wanting to... I think it was a line I said a couple of weeks ago. I think I said it anyway. We have a limitless God that we put limits on. If that's not a proud and arrogant statement, I don't know what it is, that we as humans think we can put limitations right, to work in us and show us, and we open our eyes and we lift up God. We allow His Spirit to work in us and show us, and we open our eyes and we lift our eyes. I don't look going on in the world. Yeah, the darkness is getting in the world for him was to be in the middle of Iraq meeting with Al-Qaeda soldiers and leaders of Al-Qaeda. Why? Because that's where God had placed him. God's really interested in getting out of us and into the world. Did you know that last night on Sunshine Coast, the whole beach at the Sunshine Coast, there was thousands of people got baptized. I was on Elwood Beach. 15 people got baptized yesterday in Elwood, in our own city. There was groups of people in South Australia and in Manly Beach. You know, Greg Laurie, who was a part of the Jesus Revolution, if you have seen the movie, this year, he baptized 4,500 people in one day at Pirates Cove, where the Jesus Revolution was all there. Look up, look out. Our God's moving and He wants to use you and He wants you to be a part of it. Can I say that the only thing that's limiting you is actually you? The only thing that's limiting me is me, because He's the God of the impossible. That was good, wasn't it, what I intended to say, but it's good. Pardon? Did everyone get that? Okay, so basically last night there was a weather report that said there was going to be hail on the beach on the Sunshine Coast. They got people to pray and there was no hail. It stopped. The night before was Sean Fort, who's a worship leader from out of America. He actually led, there was 1,000 people came to that meeting open air in the rain and they encountered Jesus. There's a desperate hunger in people for the authentic and the real. And this generation, I was talking with my son yesterday after coming back from Elwood Beach, and I said, Isaac, what is it that your generation, because if you have a look around this room, we don't have much in the way of 18 to 25s, 18 to 30s. Why? He said, because the church has been full of religion, it hasn't been real. Ouch. It's not demonstrating the power of the gospel. What's the power of the gospel? Signs, wonders, deeds, miracles. People healed. Demons being set free. If you don't believe in the demonic realm, we might need to have a chat. Because it's actually part of our mission statement, is to see people set free. And Jesus, did you know that Satan is actually really comfortable with you just coming to church? He doesn't mind it at all. If you walk out of here and don't do anything about it out there, he doesn't care. while we're busy doing our religious activities. But he does want to get out. He wants us to walk in power. And don't you really want to see it? Don't you hunger for it? I don't want a God that's not powerful. I want a God that is so powerful that no matter what circumstance someone is facing, they get to experience the fullness of that. And how does it happen? Well, it sounds like I'm repeating myself, but maybe we need to, because we have to get this. Can I have my first slide up, please, Matt? Have a look at the picture. I've been told very, very, very strongly that I'm not allowed to upset cat people. This may be the first and last time you'll ever see a cat thing. Sorry, Andre, I did say something. I had to. Sorry to all the cat lovers. I like the big one, though. The roar of the Lion of Judah. You know, sometimes we need to actually look more in the mirror. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 in the Amplified Version says this. Does anyone miss out on that? Well, can I say that the invitation is there for us? Some people do miss out on it, and that's tragic. But from God's point of view, it's for all. Jesus didn't die on a cross. Gee, I'm good today. Die on a cross for Pam and Deb, but not for Karen. Or not for Michelle, or not for Jason. No, he died for all of humanity. He predestined all of us to be the sons and daughters of God. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So those of us that are here today, the invitation is for all of us. With an unveiled face. Continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, who progressively, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. How do we become like Jesus, how do we behold? What I behold, I become. You talk to someone whose God is their football club, can you talk to them about anything else other than their football club? You talk to someone whose God is their workplace, can you talk to them about anything else other than their workplace? When you talk to someone who is self-obsessed with themselves, who do they talk about? If all we are doing is looking in the mirror at the face of our Savior, who are we going to reflect? Whose power is going to manifest in our lives? His. Him. And he's an all-powerful, all-knowing God. Do I know why sometimes people don't get healed when we pray for them? No, I've still got some questions around that, but do I know that God heals 100%? Yes. Because if I put my eyes on the fact that I prayed for my knees and I've had prayer for my knees a heaps of times, but my kneecap still dislocates from time to time, I can say, well, God mustn't be a healer because he hasn't done it for me. Except 2 weeks ago, Jeremy comes to me and goes, I feel like there's something demonic. I've got this migraine. Will you pray for me? Of course I will. We prayed for him and it left. And the beautiful thing is Jeremy told me afterwards, he said, I tried to come back, but God had put it in my mouth. Hey, if an intimidating spirit comes back to try and tell you that you haven't been healed, tell it to rack off. And he did. And guess what? It did. But if I put my thing on the fact that my knee hasn't been healed yet, I would he, if someone comes to me and asks for prayer, oh no, I can't do that. God didn't heal me, so he's not a healer anymore. Oh, we've got some really funky theology in the church because of that. I grew up with it. Cessationism. Look it up. It says the gifts are dead. I'm sorry, but that theology is not of God. It's a God that's trying to devoid God of power. Romans 12, verse 2. Next slide. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Brothers and sisters, if you are looking for anything outside of Jesus and anything outside of his word, I'm not saying that reading good books, if they're based on scripture, good books are really helpful because their revelation will actually impart to you. But if you're going to a world health, a world self-help book for your help, you will never overcome. You'll be just looking for the new fad. Because there is one answer to your issues. There is one answer, and it is Jesus. You know my heart. My heart is, I am for good psychologists. I am for good counseling. I am for prayer counseling. But if it's not done in the name of Jesus, if it's not done from a foundation of that, it's never going to work. Ever. It might give you some nice feelies, but it won't transform you because the one that transforms is Jesus Christ. Do we need the wisdom? Yes. But it needs to be wisdom that's inspired by Holy Spirit. Really, really important. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will run. I thought it's interesting, isn't it, that language, that when we know the vision and we know the purposes, we can run. When we are all on the one bus heading in the same direction and we've got the right places, there's a book by Jim Collins called Good to Great. If you are a business leader or done any leadership stuff, you've probably been given that book. If you haven't, it's a good read. He's not actually a Christian. But the wisdom in the book basically says he did a research project of the top performing companies all around the world and said, what makes a great company and what makes a good company? The interesting thing of the data is that it was not ever about the CEO that was at the front. He was just the steering wheel that actually was steering the direction that the company was going. But it was actually making sure that every person on the bus, it was in line going the direction that the company was actually called to do. Well, we are told in the scriptures, in 1 Peter, he says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone and that we are the living stones being built together for his kingdom. That means that there's a position and a place for each of us. Some of you know my story, and I fought the idea of actually being a pastor and leading a church. It doesn't say that I don't want to be this, because God has called me to be here. I was saying only to Matt and Amanda this morning as we drove up, if God said to me one day, all right, you're released, go and start a cafe. At the back of it, have a baptismal tank, and upstairs have a room where you can disciple people, but go and run a cafe so you can connect with people over food and coffee, or over a, you know, I would be, oh, sign me up, I'm there. I would love that. It's not that I don't love this. I do, because this is where God's placed me. But actually, my role is to equip you to be out here, to be the transforming hands of Jesus out into our community. And it's really, really important. So we need the right people on the right bus in the right seat. And you know what? Have any of you ever been in a role where you know that it's the right company or the right place to be, but you were in the wrong role? Have you ever been in that position? How difficult is it? It's horrible. Absolutely horrible to be stuck in a role that isn't actually for you. And God is wanting each of us to know our role so that we can play our part. Because I know when I was not in the role that I would have liked to have been, or I was even in a company that just did not represent my values at all, but God had me stay, oh, it taught me how to keep my mouth shut. You know how easy it is to sit there and throw pot shots when you don't agree with anything? Oh my goodness. I could have ripped the business apart because I could see so much stuff. But God told me to learn how to... It's difficult. And yet I knew that my boss was doing the best he could with the resources he had. Why am I saying all this? Well, as you know, as a church, I've proposed that there is a name change that God has called us to, or calling us into. For some of you, I don't like it at all. For some of you, you go, oh, Transformation House, why would you call it that? I didn't, God did. And some go, well, that means we can't argue because God's told you. No, you can have discussions. We can talk about it. But God was so clear. And I don't ever want to be in a situation... You imagine if everyone had kept calling Paul Saul, or if he had just stayed as Saul and never stepped into Paul, all the things we would miss out today. Brothers and sisters, I believe there is something on the other side of us being called Transformation House that I don't fully understand, that I don't fully get. I don't understand the full picture, but I believe that he's asked us to step into it. And I'm asking you to step with me. Because I believe there's something really important on the other side. Now, obviously, the first time we voted for it, it didn't come around. And people since then, out God, representing Jesus, not actually representing him, we want to send them out as Jesus. Because if we are actually called to imitate him, that means that we are meant to look like him, sound like him, smell like him, be like him, and we need to pour that out. Adam Thompson last weekend awoken a couple of things in me. Number one, he awoken a vision, and I'm going to share that in a moment. And he talked about us being walking Bethels. What does that mean? Bethel was the place where Jacob wrestled with God. And it was a place where he saw there was a gate, the way, there was a place where there was a up and down of from heaven to earth, heaven to earth, heaven to earth. And that was Bethel is actually means the gate of to heaven, if I've got the interpretation right. We are meant to be walking gates to the kingdom. We are meant to be open, wide. People are meant to encounter Jesus through us and then experience the Father. Totally transformed. Totally set free. Because they've encountered the Father. In a moment, I'm going to invite Karen to come up. So this morning, and over the last little while, not just this morning, but we've just agreed on what we're going to do this morning. First time we could really meet together and go over some of these things. But over the last month and a half, we've been given some really significant prophetic words. And so Karen is going to read some of those out. In those words, there is some warnings. There is some things there. And because who knows that the prophetic is not just about nicey nice things. Sometimes we need the warnings so that we can be prepared for what is coming. I also want to give a plug to a message by Stacey Hillier from Numa Church. She is the prophetic voice from Numa Church. Now, I'm not paid by her. I don't know Stacey in person. But she preached a message called Behold and Become. It is probably one of the most powerful messages. Maybe it's because I'm marinating in this stuff a lot. But can I encourage you, Pam knows and a few others knows what the power of this message is. Can I encourage you to get on to the podcast, however you get them, go on their website, go to Numa Church, look for Stacey Hillier's message on Behold and Becoming. She just preaches it absolutely beautifully. Of what it looks like to be beholding our Jesus. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read through all the Transformation House because I have mentioned it before. And if you want a copy of the things that we're about as a church, God's told me to read them. All right. I'll do this quickly, share my vision, and then we're going to do the prophetic words. Transformation House is a community focused on hosting the presence of God. We want every person from the youngest to the oldest to be led by Holy Spirit in every aspect of their life, to know they are precious, chosen children of God. We desire to host the King of Kings and for every believer to know, that word know, you've heard me say it over and over again, ginosko. Ginosko means, is a Jewish item for making love. That's how close the Father wants to be with us. So we desire to host the King of Kings for every believer to know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amanda's communion message was brilliant about bringing our attention that we don't fully understand what a King of Kings is. And our tall poppy syndrome in Australia needs to be smashed because there is no problems with leadership if it's healthy and godly placed in the right way. But our culture in Australia says, if you get above me, I'm going to rip you down. It's from another place other than heaven. Transformation House is called to be a transformational community. Surprise, surprise. God is wanting us to be whole emotionally, spiritually, physically. We are all about seeing orphan wounds of our heart being healed and finding wholeness in our identity as the sons and daughters of God. This will be achieved through intentional discipleship, inner healing, stewarding the prophetic, breaking strongholds. Stewarding the prophetic could even include stewarding the apostolic. Breaking strongholds and seeing people live life out of freedom. Out of the freedom that Christ came to give us. Transformation House is committed to equipping and sending out disciples of Jesus of all ages to do the work of ministry, sending the Father's sons and daughters into all the world full of radical love to see the lost sons and daughters encounter the same love they have encountered, to cast out demons, heal the sick, and demonstrate the signs and wonders of the kingdom. See Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 20. The role of the Apostolic Church is to raise up and equip people to live out their faith in their everyday life. Some of our focuses for 2024, we realize there is a hole in discipleship. We haven't discipled you well. We want to pick that up and we want to grab hold of that. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to do discipleship classes around the thing of how to read the Word of God, how to hear the voice of God, what is the prophetic. There might be more. These are just some of the things that I've thought about. There will probably be way more topics than this, but becoming disciples that make disciples. I want to see this place established for a house of prayer. My dream is to see a 24-hour, 7 days a week prayer house established in this region. It's going to be just more than we can do just as a church on our own unless God sends a whole huge lot of people to our midst, which he can do that. But we want to be a house of prayer. We want to be a place where people encounter the healing power of God. People are looking for answers. And as I said, I am not against the good counseling. I'm not against all of those things. In fact, I'm all for it. And I believe that we are to be an answer to the world's problems. So therefore, why aren't we having an answer here? We need to establish a healing center here in this place. And I want to, on the word that was given to us by Maria, is that we will have a house that is passionate worship, full of passionate worshipers and evangelism. It's what God is calling us to. All right, I'm going to share my vision and then invite Karen to come and share. This was awakened in me. Now, I said this to Andre and Karen this morning. They haven't heard this vision before because, to be honest, I hadn't forgotten about it, but I'd sent it way back in the thing to the point that when we moved from New South Wales, I had this vision actually painted. I moved down here and I actually left it in New South Wales. The painting was too big for one and I went, I don't know what it even means anymore, so I just parked it. Kind of regret that decision. I wish I had brought it down with me. Maybe me and Sunday need to have a chat or someone who wants to do some art for me. Anyway, about 12, 13 years ago, I'm standing at the front of the church, not too dissimilar to this, but I, instead of me being the one speaking, I was asking for prayer. The lady that prayed for me said, "What do you want?" I said, "I feel stuck. I'm doing a job I hate. I know there's a kingdom call on my life. But I don't understand why I'm stuck doing what I'm doing." So this was before, so it might have even been 15 years ago, because it was before I was even doing student wellbeing stuff. Anyway, as she started to pray, I had an open vision in front of me. 6 doors, all closed. And I was trying every one of them. I was walking up this one, trying to do that. Nah, all of them. And I skipped the one in the middle. Went to the rest of them, got to the one in the middle, and stood there paralyzed. Because I knew that that was the right door. And so this was over about a 45-minute session at the front of church after church. I can't remember what Shell and the boys were doing. They must have been wondering, geez, we should hurry up so we can go home and get some dinner. Anyway, I got some ministry because there was a fear in me of getting it wrong, fear of walking into a place and it not being the right place. We opened the door. I stepped into... The only way I could explain it was like a Melbourne alleyway. You know, the bluestone alleyways kind of feel that you get in some of those little places in the city? Which I thought was intriguing because there weren't places that I would go usually. And the picture was grim to say the least. But it was full of men. Angry men. Drinking. They were yelling at each other. It was ugly. And in the midst of it were these men and their children. And their children were going, "Dad, Dad." And there was one vision I vividly remember of a boy sitting with his dad drinking a beer. He must have only been, you know, probably in the vision 10 or 12 years old. He'd given up trying to get Dad out of there, so he joined Dad because he was so desperate for Dad's presence. I began to walk through this alleyway, and then it opened up to a big field. The more I walked through it, the more the young boys grabbed their dad's hands and began to walk with them. And then another one. The boys were bringing their dads through. As I walked through that part of it, I thought, that's intriguing. They were still carrying their beer. They were still carrying their stuff. The vision opened up again, and there was this really beautiful field with a track going up the middle. And there was more of these young men grabbing their dad's hand and walking up. And then as I looked through the vision, the cross appeared. The words of John 8, verse 36 came to the front of the cross, and it said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And then as I walked through the vision, there was all these men and their boys worshipping at the foot of the cross. And then across the top of the cross was the word transformation. As I say, that vision was reawoken at the Adam Thompson prophetic weekend last weekend. I had parked it. I had forgotten it. It wasn't a part of my decision-making process around the North Shore Transformation House. But as it's been awakened in me, it's actually gone, see, I've called you to this for a long time. And it isn't just about me. He's calling for our world to be transformed through an encounter with Jesus. And you know what it actually says in Malachi, one of my absolute favorite one of my mandate scriptures. Malachi says, the spirit of Elijah will come and he'll heal the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. God is wanting to do a restoration work. We have a fatherless issue that is so huge you've got no idea in this land. The reason we have so much suicide in young men is because of the hopelessness and the lack of fathers in our land. I am not diminishing the mums because you are vital in this journey. Vital. But God, if you were the enemy and you know there was a war coming on, who are you going to take out? Going to take out the blokes, right? So we need to, I believe, a key part of what God is calling us to do is for us as men to take up our place as warriors in the kingdom. And guess what? You all benefit when we do. All of you. And it's time, I believe, like no other, that God is calling us up.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.